week three, the Eagles suffered their first loss. But Bob, that's the great thing about the NFL here is that you have to have short-term memory. So moving onward and upward, we have an epic NFC East battle on Sunday facing the New York Giants. Welcome to Green Zone, everybody. I'm Becky Brensinger.
And I'm Bob Bumbary. Yeah, Becky, hopefully the Eagles did learn something in practice this week from that 27-6 loss at Arizona. They got the New York Giants coming up Sunday night at Lincoln Financial Field. We're going to talk about that one on 1st and 10.
And still to come, I sit down with defensive end Darrell Tapp.
Speaking of defensive ends, we're going to hear from Trent Cole on his path to the NFL, which included a stint on the offensive side of the ball.
And then we take a stroll down memory lane with the miracle at the Meadowlands. All here on Eagles Green Zone.
And we kick things off here in Eagles Green Zone with 1st and 10. I'm Bob Bumbara, and here to discuss what happened last week against the Cardinals and the Giants game, former Eagle Dan Klecko and a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a journalist, Ray Dininger, joins us here on 1st and 10. Ray, do you expect the Giants defense to go after Vic to pressure the quarterback like the Cardinals did this past Sunday?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, that's for one thing, that's what they do best. I mean, that's what their defense is built on, is that front seven. And a very active, athletic, super quick group. That's this Giants defense, athletically, is a lot like the defense you saw in Arizona. It's, you know, the Baltimore defense, which the Eagles handled fairly well, is a big, sturdy, but not particularly mobile or athletic
up
front.
An AFC defense, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah. This defense you saw in Arizona and the Giants defense is a whole different animal. I mean, these guys are fast, they're mobile, they really pressure you, they bring all kinds of different pressure, and that's what they're going to do with Mike. That's how they're going to start. But I think for the Eagles coaches, when you start putting this game plan together, you have to start with one very simple equation. Who's your best player? Okay, your best player isn't Mike Vick, and your best player isn't DeSean Jackson. Your best player is LeSean McCoy. So if we all kind of agree on that, then when you begin building the game plan, the game plan should be about getting him the ball, building your game plan around him.
Dan, let's flip things around. Look at the Eagles defense against the Giants offense. What are we expecting differently that maybe we didn't see in the Cardinals game from a defensive point of view?
Well, I think they are what they are on defense. You know, Nnamdi's going to be out there on his corner. DRC's going to be out there, and Boykin's going to be in the slot. I think the guy that you have to worry about right now is Victor Cruz. I think he's their number one option. I think he's the guy you're worried about. You know, I also look at their run game hasn't really gotten off the ground yet. You know, you got Ahmad Bradshaw hurt. I think he comes back this week. But still, you know, they're still struggling to find that. I think you stop that run, and you make them pass, and I think the main guy you stop right there is Victor Cruz.
The Eagles defense seemed at times a little off balance against the Cardinals offense. They seemed to kind of, they mixed it up pretty well. Did they learn anything? Did Juan Castillo learn anything from that game as they approached the Giants game?
Well, there are two different styles of attack, so that's going to be a little bit different. I just think, I give the Arizona Cardinals coaches a lot of credit. I think they came up with a really good game plan. I mean, we all know what Kevin Cobb is. We know what he's good at, and we know what his limitations are. And you know, if he gets heavy pressure, that he's going to have trouble making plays. And that's really what I thought was going to be the difference in the game. But the Cardinals coaches managed it well enough that they got the ball out of Kevin's hands really fast, a lot of quick throws, a lot of short drops. That's the way you attack this Eagles defense, because if you take deep drops and have the quarterback holding the ball, you know, this pass rush is going to eat you alive. And that's true with the Arizona Cardinals. It's equally true with the Giants this week. You know, the Giants don't run the ball nearly as well as they did in their first Super Bowl year. Their running game now is average at best. Yeah. But their quarterback has matured to a point where he can play through that. And you saw that with Manning last week. Brings his team from behind, throws for 500 yards. Almost doesn't matter who his receivers are anymore. Receivers get hurt, guys go out, new guys come in. Eli makes them all look like all pros. I mean, Eli, he said it last year, and he's right. He is one of the elite quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's become one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. He's legitimately top five. He's in that crew now. He's with Tom. He's with Drew Brees. He's with Peyton Manning. He's with, you know, Aaron Rodgers. He's there now. That's where he's at. And Ray's right. He adapts to whatever is thrown at him, whoever's hurt. If he doesn't have that run game, he's making Martellus Bennett a star now, the tight end.
So what do you do to shake him up a little bit? What do the Eagles defense do to try to get him off his game?
Me personally, I think he's just like every other pocket passer, every other classic dropback guy. You get him off that spot 5 yards behind the center, you start hitting him in the mouth, all those guys eventually become average, and they eventually start worrying about what's around them. He's no different.
All right, Dan and Ray, we're going to switch things around now. And Becky has more on the life of Eagles defensive end Darrell Tapp off the field in press coverage.
We're here with Darrell Tapp. Now, Darrell, looking at last year's defense, comparing it to this year's, it's made such leaps and bounds for the better. But in your perspective, how has the defense changed?
We've just grown with the defense. Everyone has had time in the OTAs, mini camps, and training camp to really understand what Coach Juan wants to do. We're buying in, going 100%.
Have you ever played on a defensive line as talented as this one?
Definitely not. This defensive line is special in our eyes. We have 13 guys in the room, 11 guys that could be active at any given time. Everybody can play all four positions. So it's a great feeling of camaraderie in that room if you can get the job done.
Well, it seems like you guys are having a lot of fun, and you wear a smile to a T. I mean, your smile is contagious. How do you keep it on your face?
Blessed, man. I mean, this is a great opportunity that not too many people have. I'm just trying to maximize my opportunity.
Now, there are a lot of young guys on this defensive line. You've kind of formulated yourself into a leader.
Right. Definitely something I've been working into. This is going to my seventh year in the league, and I've seen and done a lot of things. So I try to give a lot of wisdom that I have to the young guys like, you know, Vinny Curry, Brandon Graham, Phillip Hunt, because they're still young. I'm kind of getting up there. So I just want to help put those guys in position to make plays and keep them aware.
How have you seen the league change 7 years ago until to this day?
It's night and day, honestly. I can go from any given position, special teams. You know, when I came in the league, it was a four-man wedge. Now it's only allowed two. There weren't too many issues with the quarterback hits and stuff like that. It was just kind of the old school NFL. So I've seen a lot of changes, and it's been fun the whole time.
Now, your wife is a professional trainer.
Yes.
But the big question is, who pushes you harder in the gym, the Eagles training staff or the wifey?
The wifey. Because see here, she can push me hard, but if I don't do right, I still got to go home with her. Coach Barrett can only get so much out of me if I can leave.
Now, I heard that you like looking good before a post-game interview.
Right.
What's the one thing that you just make sure is on point before you step in front of the camera?
You got to make sure you don't have any boogies. That's a key thing.
No, nothing in the hole there.
Nothing in the hole.
Is there one guy that, you know, you always just go to and say, hey, do I have anything?
It's not one guy. It's kind of whoever's there at the moment.
Now, you grew up in Virginia. Does
yes.
that mean you were a Redskins fan?
Still am, to this day.
Still am.
Except when we play them.
I was going to say, what is that like whenever you play for the Eagles now?
It's fun. I always have a good game against the Redskins.
So this past offseason, you took on another sport for charity, and that was cycling. How does a big defensive lineman like yourself fit on a tiny road bike?
I had a mountain bike. I need big, sturdy. But it was the Manioc Wall. And that thing was vicious. Definitely I get a road bike next time. But it was just something else to keep my body motivated to work out on a given day without doing the same old.
Did the Manioc Wall ever end?
No, it didn't. I think I probably got maybe 1/4, had to walk the rest of it.
Really?
Not ashamed to say it.
One last thing. What's one thing that we don't know about Darrell Tapp? Good question.
It is. He used to play in the marching band.
Marching band.
I did.
What instrument?
Percussion.
Percussion.
Yep.
Were you the big boom, boom?
Mm-mm. I was snare and tenor drum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean quick wrists, right?
Right.
I can't. Do this.
Yep, that was me.
All right, thanks, Darrell.
No problem.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF now for an appointment.
Brian Dawkins. You know, I can still remember him pregame pacing the end zone like a caged tiger and talking to a football in a language that nobody understands. What did you say to that man to make him so angry? And then boom, it's showtime. The fog starts to roll out of the tunnel and the hairs on the back of your neck stand up like the 67,000 people packed inside a Lincoln Financial Field waiting to see what he's going to do when he hits the field. I don't know, what are we going to get today, boys? We're going to get a little B-Dawk ninja action? We're going to get a little Weapon X? Or how about my personal favorite, beating up the turf monster to show them that you're the only one that's going to be hurting people today. For 13 NFL seasons, any quarterback that played the Eagles had to stop at the line of scrimmage and make sure they knew exactly where Brian Dawkins was lined up. And sure, you may know where he is, but give it about 7 seconds, and you're not even going to know what zip code you're in. Boom! Boom! Dawkplex! He didn't just buy a ticket to the game. You bought a ticket to the gun show. And who needs Ball Hawk when you got B-Dawk? I would not throw it over there, Brett. Told you so. And at the end of the day, win or lose, you give that man what he wanted.
This town loves defense, and that's what we play.
So tell me, how does a 6-foot, 200-pound, undersized safety taken in the second round become a legend in the city of Philadelphia? When you talk about Eagles fans, you use words like passion, intensity, hardworking, tough, loyalty. The same words can be used to describe Brian Dawkins. And that's why he's loved here, because the fans saw themselves in the player. B-Dawk represented everything that was important to us. He cherished the victories with us. He hated to lose just like we did. He shared the passion. He shed the tears with all of us. He didn't steal the hearts of Eagles fans. With every big play and with every big hit, he took them by force. He didn't capture our imaginations. He made our imaginations a reality because we had somebody on the field who felt like us. He did more than just play on the field. He represented the fans who loved him and his team. There will never be another 20 to wear Eagles green in this city. And there's a good reason for that, because there will never, ever, ever be another Brian Dawkins.
Well, what a great tribute to a terrific player and a great Eagle, Brian Dawkins. And speaking of great players, we're still searching for the greatest Eagle of all time in our bracket breakdown. Take a look at some of the winners from last week. And Dan Klecko and Ray Dittinger, let's first talk about a matchup, a real tough battle between Trey Thomas and Seth Joyner.
Well, that is a tough one. I mean, because you're talking about two really good players. I mean, Seth was the key linebacker and kind of the heart and soul guy on the Buddy Ryan defenses. And Trey Thomas, I think, is probably the finest left tackle that this franchise has ever had in its history. So that was a real tough matchup. Seth Joyner comes out ahead, but I'm sure Trey Thomas made it a very close vote.
And the other reason I thought Trey might have won is because he really was here for all the good times, for the five NFC Championship games. He was here as Andy built this team. So I thought he would have had the edge there, and I didn't think people would quite remember Seth, but sometimes we forget how beloved that defense really is.
That is true.
And Dan and Ray, as we look ahead at this week's region in a bracket breakdown, I think a lot of maybe appear to be lopsided matchups, but we do got some battles. And Ray, I want to go to you first with a matchup between Norm Willie and Timmy Brown, the 8 and 9. Tell folks who aren't familiar how tough of a battle this should be.
Well, that's a good one. They are just about dead even at 8 and 9. That's pretty good seeding for them, actually. Norm Willie was, you would probably say, the first great pass rusher in the history of this franchise. Danny, who knows his history of this team, knows all about Norm Willie's 1952 game against the Giants.
You care? 17 sacks? I mean, anytime you have 17 sacks in one game, I don't know how you pick Timmy Brown. I get it, but I don't know how you picked him.
It was hard. Norm Willie was a very good player for a long time, but Timmy Brown was, in my view, is still the best kick returner that this franchise has ever had. And in that period of the 60s, when the Eagles were not a particularly good team for a very long period of time, Timmy was an all-around tremendous versatile back, and 2 years in a row led the NFL in combined yardage, rushing, receiving, and kick returns. Very special player. That's why I went with him.
And that's why he's here. He's here to school me also. So.
And Ray and Dan, quickly, any chance of a David Akers upset over Clyde Simmons?
Well, that was kind of how it split on Dan and I. Dan, being the lifetime defensive lineman that he is, went with the defensive lineman and Clyde Simmons. And I can't argue too strenuously. Clyde Simmons was a little bit overshadowed by the great Reggie White during his career, but Clyde Simmons was a good player in his own right. But David Akers, the all-time leading scorer in the history of the franchise, all-time leading field goal kicker, still kicking in the National Football League. This was not an easy choice, because I have great respect for Clyde Simmons, but David Akers is the all-time leading scorer. I had to go with him.
And I respect David also that he is the all-time leading scorer, but he's a kicker, and Clyde Simmons was a defensive lineman, so that's where my heart went.
No bias there, Randy.
Let's bring up one more, Wilbert Montgomery and Herm Edwards, guys.
Well, Wilbert Montgomery was really kind of the key to the Vermeil teams that went to the Super Bowl, late 70s, early 80s. The offense was really a running offense, not a passing offense. Don't tell Ron Jaworski I said that, but that's really Wilbert Montgomery made that offense go. Incredible pound-for-pound toughness. Might have been the toughest player I've ever seen wear an Eagles uniform. I went with Wilbert Montgomery, even though I love Herm, and he made that spectacular Miracle of the Meadowlands play that we'll all remember. In this one, I think even Herm would probably cast his vote for Wilbert Montgomery.
Yeah, Herm has to agree with that one. We were both on this one. We both agreed, and I'm with you, Ray, that he was one of the toughest players ever wear an Eagles uniform. That's why I went with Wilbert on that one.
Of course, guys, as you both know, Wilbert Montgomery's path to the NFL included college at Abilene Christian. We're going to find out more about Trent Cole's path to the NFL.
Hi, I'm Trent Cole, and my path to the NFL is I started out in high school as a running back in DN, and I was really big on, you know, being a running back, and I knew I could just play every other position, so I ended up playing every other position. And then I got picked up by a college and got a scholarship to the University of Cincinnati, which they asked me if I was going to play offense or defense, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go with defense. I get to focus on one position now, so I took it, and the first year I started out at Cincinnati as a nose and D tackle at 225 pounds, probably the smallest in college football. And there on my last year there in Cincinnati, I played DN, and I got drafted fifth round to the Eagles. And now I'm 8 years into the league, and I have some great years here, and I want to have some more coming up here. That's my path to the NFL, and here with Trent Cole, 105.8. Signing off.
With the Giants game on Sunday, it is only natural to take us back in time to the epic NFC East battle deemed the Miracle at the Meadowlands. We give you Prior to the Snap.
In 1978, the Eagles traveled up I-95 to take on their division rivals, the New York Giants. These two teams truly disliked one another. Their storied rivalry goes back to the early 1930s. There have been many classic games between them, but one of the most renowned contests came in Week 12 of that season, in a game known as the Miracle at the Meadowlands. Herm Edwards picked up the fumble by Giants quarterback Joe Pisarcik and darted 26 yards for the game-winning score. But there were events before that play that helped shape the outcome of the game. It was the first of two matchups between the two foes, and a win would be huge for either team as they looked to solidify their playoff hopes. With the Giants up by 5 points in the fourth quarter, it looked like the Eagles were going to receive their sixth loss of the season. Eagles quarterback Ron Jaworski tried to lead a late comeback, but New York cornerback Otis McKinney intercepted him, leaving very little time left on the clock. With the Eagles out of timeouts, New York lined up and only needed to run a couple of plays to end the game. Pisarcik dropped back and took a knee on first down, and it looked like the game was sealed. The next play, offensive coordinator Bob Gibson called a run for Larry Zonka. He gained 11 yards on the play, and the New York coaches felt comfortable calling the play again. This time, Eagles linebackers Frank LeMaster and Bill Berge blitzed up the middle, hoping to create chaos. And they did just that. Pisarcik turned around to hand it off to Zonka, but the ball got caught up between the two and squirted out, landing at the feet of Eagles defensive back Herm Edwards, who took it 26 yards for the memorable score. Gibson, the Giants' offensive coordinator, was under fire for the play call, and the next day was fired. Many wonder why Pisarcik did not change the play and just take a knee like he did a few plays earlier. The week prior, against the Redskins, Pisarcik changed the play at the line of scrimmage and was scolded by his coaches. He wasn't going to do it 2 weeks in a row. The win helped the Eagles finish 9-7 on the season, and they made their first playoff appearance since the 1960 championship game. The kneel down, or victory formation, is a common play today used to seal the end of the game, thanks to the blunder by Joe Pisarcik and the New York Giants.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin', and Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Bob, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but after this Sunday's game, a quarter of the season is already over. Where has the time gone?
Yeah, it really is amazing, Becky, how fast the games go, how fast the season goes in the NFL. But there's still time for our viewers to vote for the greatest Eagle of all time at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/votes.
And don't forget to tweet us, fans. You did a great job of doing it last week. Send us in your questions and your thoughts, because we can make it happen for you. For Bob Umbera and Becky Brensinger, thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
Ready? What did you say to the man to make him so angry? What did you say to that man to make him so angry?
Is this really how it's gonna go?